You're listening to The Kirk Collins Show.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kirk Collins. Thank you. This is season two of The Kirk Collins Show. Right? Yes! Thank you. Well, let's talk serious. Calm down, girls. Season one was fun, right? We had some audio issues. Season two, honey, is going to be a lot more professional. I've learned how to edit audio, and I learned what I need for my guests to have the best experience for my listeners. Anyway, let's get the show started. Are you ready? Season two, episode one, let's do it! Oh, I'm dead. Today's episode is a very serious episode, and it's going to be emotional, and it's basically a lot about my story. You see, when I was 15, it was a big year for me because I came out, I met a guy, but the problem was, not only did I meet a guy, but he was my manager at Dairy Queen. And, you know, I was 15. He was 20 when we met. Turned 21 pretty quick after. And it was my first love, but it's hard to say, but it just wasn't quite right. And we're going to dive in to how I have dealt with everything now. It's 2020, a new year. And I really want to talk about all the things I went through. What it was like being gay in Sackville, Wisconsin. I suffered from depression. I tried to kill myself a couple times. So we're going to just dive into it and talk about it. So without further ado, let's go. You see, I grew up in a small town, and when the rain would fall down, I would just stare out my window, dreaming of what could be. Oh, that's a Kelly Clarkson song. You might know that song. It's called Breakaway. It was actually written by Avril Lavigne. We love Avril Lavigne. Oh my God, you do too? Avril, come back to us, baby. We're dying, honey. We're dying to have you back. Yes, queen. But I wanted to start out this show by reading something that I wrote a couple years ago, actually. I've always found writing to be really, really therapeutic. I always kept a journal. Not always. More like probably about 15, 14, I started writing a journal. And in freshman year, I even found poetry. And that was just like, it really helped open up a new world for me because I loved writing poetry because for the first time, I felt like I was able to express my feelings in a way that I'd not ever been able to express before. And I still have some of those poems, and it means a lot to me when I read them. But it's also really sad because I see this kid who's just drowning in the world and has no idea who he is, no idea where he's going, and no idea how to be who he is. So it's pretty sad, but here's just an old story I wrote about myself. For the first many years of my life, I wasn't sure who I was. And when I started discovering myself, it took a long time for me to be able to learn to love myself. I never fit in at school. I mainly had girlfriends and was very feminine. People just viewed me as different. Kids at school didn't really like me, and they were very mean to me. They was making fun of whatever I was doing. And this always caused me to try to fit in. I wanted to be like those other kids. So I was always trying to be something I wasn't. The kids at school would put thumbtacks on my desk. So when I'd sit down, I'd sit on the thumbtacks. They'd torment me on the bus or basically anywhere that they could. I was scared every day of what people were going to do once the teacher looked away. I would watch the other guys and try to be more like them. I'd try to talk more like them, dress more like them, and walk like them. But I was always just making a fool of myself. It really caused me not to like who I was. I can remember sort of figuring out that I was attracted to guys, and it was so scary for me. I would stay up late and cry, just praying that I wasn't actually gay. I didn't want to be gay. I was so afraid to be gay, and everything I had ever been told about being gay was that it was bad. In the beginning, I thought it was something I could just overcome, that I wasn't actually attracted to guys, but as I was hitting puberty and I was really realizing that what people have been saying about me all along might actually be true. I hid myself for a couple of years, not telling a soul that I might be gay, because I thought that no one would really like me, including my family. And besides that, I didn't really like myself. I wanted to just be normal, have a girlfriend, grow up, get married, and have kids. I didn't want to be gay. At about 14, 15 is when I first started talking to a gay guy online. And he even became my first and only online boyfriend. We're about the same age and sort of had the same troubles. No one knew we were gay except for each other. So we would just chat about life and our days and share the horror stories from school. When I told my friends at school I talked to a gay guy online, I pretended that I was disgusted. But my friends felt the opposite, which was the first time that I ever heard that it might be okay to be gay. I was so naive then that I think my mind just wasn't developed enough for all that was about to happen to me. Maybe because I didn't understand myself well enough at that point, even though I thought I did. Eventually, some of my friends at school found out I was gay, and they were really supportive. It was my freshman year, and I was at Ozaki High School, and we're watching a wrestling match. I just couldn't stay silent about all the hot men wrestling each other. My friends were so supportive and happy to hear me say that I liked men. July 2nd, 2002, I was riding the Ferris wheel with my sister and my friend Ashley. Ashley already knew I was gay, but my sister did not. We looked down, and there were some shirtless men, so I made some comment about how hot they were. And then boom, my sister found out I was gay. She was so mad. She left the fair and went straight home to tell my parents. It was awful. My dad looked like someone had died. When my mom didn't know what to do, she chased me around the house, trying to get me to talk to her. She forbid me from telling my other siblings, my other two brothers, because she didn't want me to influence them. It was just a day you don't forget. I had no intention of coming out that day. I was not ready. My parents were so mad, they thought it was just a phase and didn't want anyone else to know. They were so ashamed. And I, at that moment, thought the cat's already out of the bag, so I just want to be me and I want to be free of whatever other people thought. Because I had already spent years worrying about others' perception of me. I had spent my whole life thinking about what other people thought about me. I also already found some friends who had known me for years and loved me for who I was. That summer, I had also started working at Dairy Queen, where I had met and had interactions with a gay guy. He was my supervisor, and we hit it off right away. His name was Kevin. When I met him, he was only 20, turning 21, and I was 15. I was so lost in this world. I was someone who was just looking for something to cling to that would help me escape my current reality. He was funny. He was charming. I was attracted to him instantly. He had a car. He had no curfew and could do whatever he wanted. And I was 15 and I just longed for that independence. We became friends and quickly lovers. At the time, I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. Because I felt like an adult already. I was such a naive kid. I grew up in the country and went to a small country school. I was very sheltered from the world and any real diversity. I just wasn't ready for everything that was headed my way. I didn't understand myself or the world, and it took me years before I could finally say I actually did. That September, I started a new school my parents forced me to go to. I didn't want to go to the new school. And the first day of school, my dad told me not to tell anyone that I was gay, that if I did, they wouldn't actually like me, even if they said they did. I was mortified. I had no friends at this new school and had to start all over. And it didn't take long for people to decide they didn't like me. The second week of school, I was out because I had tried to commit suicide. I was so devastated about life, I didn't want to be on this planet anymore. I thought there was no future for me. I hated myself for being gay. I hated my parents, my school. And I was just so depressed. I didn't know what else to do. I spent 5 days in a psychiatric hospital, and that was my first trip. I ended up going 2 more times. They put me on medicine for depression and bipolar disorder. And through a lot of therapy and acceptance, it helped put me on the right path. But it wasn't as easy as just saying that. It took years, and it took a lot of work. I was fighting myself to accept who I was, and it felt like I was fighting the world. I was also trying to be an adult. I was trying to have a boyfriend. I didn't care about school anymore. I just wanted to hang out with my boyfriend. He bought me new clothes, took me to the spa. He spoiled me. Of course I was clinging to him as much as I could. I was fighting with my parents every day. Cops were called almost every week into my house. My parents didn't want me to be with Kevin. They said he was a predator. They tried everything to keep us apart. I just didn't see it that way. I saw it as, here's this man that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with, that I didn't need anything from anyone else but him. And it wasn't until years later that I really found out how wrong I was. Kevin and I broke up, and it was awful because I was so in love with him. I thought we were going to be together forever, so I was heartbroken. He was cheating on me, and I just went absolutely nuts. So much had happened between us, and I was just completely lost. About a month after I graduated high school, I was in a huge car accident. I was hit by a semi, a van full of 12 people from Africa, and another car. I was so lucky to be alive. A week later, I moved out of my parents' house with nothing but my clothes, no car, no money, into my aunt's. I eventually moved to Madison when I was 19, and then in my early 20s, I did a lot of experimenting with drugs. I was a complete disaster. I was doing piles of cocaine, weed, crack, and different prescription pills. I got off drugs, and that's when I started to get my life together. But it took a lot of time. And it wasn't until I really hit 21 that I believed that my brain actually started understanding how to be an adult. That I actually, matured a little bit. Not only matured a little bit, but found a love within myself that I had not found before. That whatever I did actually mattered. I met lifelong friends and really discovered who I was. I was no longer ashamed of being gay. As I went ahead and met many gay friends, and everyone in my life became much more accepting.
You're listening to The Kirk Collins Show.
Welcome back. That's a note I wrote a couple years ago, and I thought, it was really good. It was really good synopsis of what I went through. And I want to kind of break it down and talk a little bit more, give a little history about myself. So, I was born in Port Washington, Wisconsin on March 17th, 1987. I was born to two wonderful parents, Elizabeth and Craig Collins. I'm the oldest of four. And We lived in Grafton for a short period of time, and I went to Grafton Elementary School, but I went to Ozaukee Elementary School, or it was actually Maple Lawn, I believe, at the time. When I was in first grade, we moved to the country. I grew up in Sackville, Wisconsin, where I lived until I was 18. And I grew up in an area that is very conservative. My dad is a big army man, redneck, funny as hell. I didn't see it then, but he is. He's funny as hell. But just setting the stage, you know, it was a different time back then. It was I was born in 87, so I was growing up in the 90s. Growing up in the 90s, I just wanted to dance. I wanted to dance. I wanted to just be loud. I wanted to sing. I wanted everyone to hear me. And instead, my dad had a plan of me to be a man. And that meant more fishing and, you know, doing manly things. And it didn't interest me. And it caused a lot of rifts between us because I was a sassy bitch. I would not let that guy tell me one thing. Sometimes he was right, maybe sometimes not. But I gave him run for his money, for sure. That is for sure. I gave him a run for his money when he had me. I was so lost, and by the time that I started to realize that I was gay, I think I lost a portion of me because I lost the acceptance I had already had that I thought I had because I thought I was already straight. I thought I was going to grow up, get married to a girl, live in a white house or a white picket fence with a house and have some kids. I had some dreams, but I dreamed of being a farmer. I dreamed of those kind of things, you know. Because I love animals. I loved going to my neighbor's farm and milking the cows and feeding the cows. And I just had a very close relationship to the animals there. And we raised chickens as kids. And I've just always loved animals. So I thought I was going to be a farmer. That was my dream for a while. And then, you know, that dream left and I was like, I'm going to be a talk show host. That was kind of my dream. I was like, I'm going to be a talk show host. I want to be a talk show host. Me and my sister used to put on our own little talk show all the time. And we would fill up our cups with grape juice and we're pretending that, you know, that was coffee. And she'd be the guest or I'd be the guest or one of our brothers would be the guest. Mitch was always the cameraman. Thank you, Mitch, for being so sweet and playing with us those years. That was probably the biggest I dreamt. I was like, I'm going to be a talk show host. There was no Ellen at the time. It was Rosie O'Donnell, and I loved Rosie. Her talk show was so much fun. And I loved Oprah, too, because Oprah also was very thought-provoking. And I love her episodes, just a mix of entertainment and thought-provocation, if that's a word. Somewhere along the way, you know, I kind of didn't really think about it again. Kind of lost that. And then I lost myself because once I started realizing I was gay, it was horrific. I was petrified. I was so mad. I used to be in church every Sunday praying not to be gay. I was an altar boy and I'd be there and that's all I could think about is, please, Lord, do not let me be gay. I didn't want to be gay. I never met a gay person at that point that I knew of. I'd never really seen one on TV. I think the first one I ever saw on TV was Dawson's Creek. And that disappointment and hatred of being gay, partly because I didn't know any better, partly because I'd been told. I remember like watching a show with my mom once and the sun comes out to his family. My mom's like told me, you better never come out to us. And it like stung. I was like, my family won't love me if I'm gay. And I didn't even love myself, so it really led to a lot of destructive behavior because I didn't see a future for myself. I didn't think I would be here still. I didn't make plans anymore. And it was really hard for me. It was really hard for me. And people would be calling me faggot at school. People would call me faggot on the bus. Every day when I walk on the bus, they always tried to trip me. I knew, right? Like, I fell for it a couple times, yeah, and they tripped me. But then they weren't able to do it anymore because I would hop over their foot. But just having what felt like so many people hate you, from your family to everyone at school, to fear that if they found out the truth, then they're really, really going to hate me. I went berserk. I didn't know what to do. I was completely lost. And when I did meet Kevin, and I came out, everything changed. I still didn't love myself, for sure. But at that point, I decided, fuck it. Either they're going to love me or not. And it's still not that simple, because I still didn't love myself at that time. It took a while. You know, I remember the first time I tried to kill myself, I was 15. I was crying downstairs in the basement. It was late at night, and I was taking all these pills, and I had decided, you know, I couldn't be in this world anymore. That I didn't fit in this world, and I shouldn't be here. And the world would be a better place if I wasn't here. And the song I'm going to play for you came on, and it's by the Spice Girls. And it's called Let Love Lead the Way. And I started taking the pills. I'm taking more pills and more pills. And then the line comes, "You can be all right and still can be who you are." And it's sung by Melanie C. And at that moment, something in my brain clicked. Even though, you know, it still took a little bit longer for me to fully get it. At that moment, I decided I wanted to live. And it was the first time that I felt that somebody had told me it's okay to be who you are and you're still going to be loved. And I stopped taking the pills and I woke up my parents and they called the cops and the ambulance and everything. And I was taken to the hospital. I don't think I was taken to the ambulance. I think I was taken by the police to the hospital. And then ultimately after that, they took me to a psychiatric hospital. We spent 5 days. And it was a really hard experience. Because I'm 15. I'm devastated about life. And I'm with these other people who are in almost the same boat. There's people who are struggling different things, basically, but around the same age as I. And it was crazy. It was so crazy. It was. Part of it was I wanted to be accepted so bad, and then I wasn't getting the acceptance that I needed. And part of it was I didn't understand my own, you know, that I still needed to accept myself, that I still needed to love myself, and it didn't matter that much what anyone else thought. It mattered what I thought about myself, and it took me a long time to decide that because I tried to kill myself 2 more times after that and ended up in the psychiatric hospital again. And, you know, it was the third time that, third time's a charm, you know, that I was like, yeah, this, you know, they had put me on medicine, and I was starting to feel a little bit better, and I was now 16 on the third time, but it was awful, it was terrible. I had no one to talk to, you know, until I met Kevin. Well, let's hear. Here's Spice Girls' Let Love Lead the Way, the song that saved my life and changed me forever. Thank you, Spice Girls. Every time I hear it, I cry a little bit because I go back to sitting on the floor in my parents' basement, thinking that I wanted to end this life. And if it wasn't for that song, I wouldn't be here today. And I'm so thankful to that song forever. Very thankful. We'll be right back.
this world go round? Will the answer let her down? She is so sweet and young, and her life has just begun. What does her future hold? That's a story left unknown. Will she make it through her days? Let our love lead the way. Part of me laughs, ooh. Part of me cries, part of me wants to question why.
Question why
is there joy? Why is there pain? Why is there sunshine and no rain?
One day
you're here, next you are gone. No matter what we must go on, just keep the faith and let love lead the way.
Everything will work out fine if you let love
lead the way.
I wish I would have not lied to him and told the police the truth. And
tonight, an exclusive 12 News interview, a Milwaukee man comes forward and says he's probably the first victim of a Sheboygan alderman accused of sexually assaulting a teenage boy. That alderman, 33-year-old Kevin Matichek, was arrested on Friday.
According to the criminal complaint, a 14-year-old boy told police that he and Matichek had sex in Matichek's car and at his house repeatedly last summer.
Last night, 12 News uncovered that there were previous restraining orders filed against Matichek over 13 years ago. However, no charges were ever filed.
A lot of questions remain, especially for the parents who tried to protect their child. 12 News' Terry Sater joins us now. And Terry, the man you spoke with seems pretty brave for coming forward.
You know, this is the criminal complaint detailing how police say Sheboygan Alderman Kevin Matichek sexually assaulted a teenage boy in Sheboygan County. The man you're going to hear from tonight says when he read this, it was like reading what happened to him as a young teenager in Ozaukee County.
He was the first gay person I ever met, so I kind of like latched onto him.
We're only using Kurt's first name to protect his privacy. Kurt says he's gay. But at 27, he realized what happened to him when he was 15 made him a victim, perhaps the first victim of Kevin Matichek, who was then 21. Matichek is now a 33-year-old Sheboygan alderman and charged with sexually assaulting a 14-year-old boy last fall.
Shocked, sad. I like read the report of what the boy said, and it pretty much was what I would have wrote when I was 14. Like the same sequence of events pretty much happened, almost in the same places.
They met when Kurt says he worked here at the Dairy Queen in Saukville. Kurt was a young teen, and Matichek was 20.
He was pretty much my first everything, from first base to last base, as you could say.
Kurt says Matichek used to take him to his former home in Port Washington on Grand.
If you go back in time now, how would you characterize what happened between you two?
Pretty horrible, sad. I'm mad that it happened. I wish it didn't happen. I wish I knew what I know today. I wish I would have not lied for him and told the police the truth.
What about criminally?
Yeah, I think he probably shouldn't be charged with what he did. He should have been charged a long time ago, so it wouldn't happen to other people.
We've reached out to Saukville police to find out whether they ever thought about pursuing charges in Kurt's case. We're waiting for them to get back to us. I also spoke with the Ozaukee County DA tonight, and so far he hasn't been able to locate any record indicating charges were considered. Kurt has a meeting with Sheboygan police on Friday.
You're listening to The Kirk Collins Show.
Welcome back. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. So I know that this has been a very emotional episode. It's been a very emotional episode for me so far. And what you just listened to was the time that... That's the time I felt like, again, almost that my world had fallen apart. Imagine... All of a sudden, you're the top story on the news. Something that happened to you when you were 15 came back around and was being broadcast on TV. And I had a choice not to go on TV. I could have done that and it would have been a lot easier for me. But I felt, in a way, compelled to because I was the first one and I could have stopped it in its tracks, what Kevin did to all those other 14, 15-year-old boys. And knowing that, I was like, I have to speak out. And if it helps anybody, you know, that's why I did it. And I hope it did. I'm not sure if it did. I think it did. I don't know. But it was really hard. It was really hard. And the part that really got me is, you know, the first time that I ever thought something was wrong with Kevin and my relationship was when I was 21. When I turned 21, I thought about it as like, and I wouldn't date a 15-year-old, you know, like, what the heck? And I kind of let it go, and I didn't really think much about it again until that news story came out. And it was heartbreaking for me. I was devastated. Not for Kevin. I was devastated for these kids. And I had already known what these families have gone through, because our family went through it. Not only finding out I was gay, but then to have all this on top of it, this guy, you know, this guy who was taking me to Chicago, he's taking me to the Wisconsin Dells, doing all these things, and my parents and family and everyone's like, he's a predator, you need to stay away from him. And I didn't see it. I saw it as, I finally found somebody who loves me, you know? Like, I can be myself, and he loves me. And, I mean, we had a crazy relationship on our own. It was very toxic. As nice as that was in the beginning, it became very, very dramatic. We got a lot of fights. He also kind of tried to control me and didn't want me to become a gay guy, basically. He didn't want me to, like, go out and see what the world was about, really. He didn't want me to go to gay clubs. He didn't want me to do anything. And that was when I was 18. He didn't want me to. So we dated from 15 to 18, on and off. But it was a wreck. It was an absolute wreck. I look back at it now, and my parents filed a restraining order against him to try to keep him away from me. And that made me even more determined to see him. I was like, I need to be with this man. He is the love of my life. And it turns out, I mean, in some way, I guess, and it's still hard for me to even digest what he is or what he was doing. I don't know. I mean, but I do know that, you know, he was in his 30s and still dating 14, 15-year-olds and having sex with them. So I do know that that is wrong, and he has some psychological issues that, you know, he has to deal with. And I know he also had a rough life and no father figure. And part of me also, the way he went about it, is he thought maybe he was, like, helping me or helping these other kids. But then also, like, I mean, then you throw in sex and you throw in a 14, 15-year-old's brain and it gets complicated very quickly. On my next episode is going to be part 2, where we're going to dive in further about my depression, how I got out of it, how I learned to love myself, how thankful I am that I learned that, and how that learning to love myself changed my whole life around. Being happy with by myself changed my life around. Meeting people, exploring the world, people from all over the world, going different places. That's what changed my life. So many things. Every experience I had that brought me up to this moment has made me who I am, and I'm proud of those moments. Some of them, you know, I could probably have done a little differently. I would give myself a lot of advice, like, maybe you don't need to do that, maybe you don't need to do this. maybe take the easier road instead of, you know, doing all these dumb things. But a lot of the dumb things I did is because I didn't see future for myself. And that was the whole problem that really was there, you know. I didn't care. Why would I care? Because I'm not going to be here, you know. So why did it matter? And that was a philosophy that really took me into my early 20s. And that is going to be part 2 of episode 1. It'll be episode 2. You know, you gotta love yourself. RuPaul says it every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. If you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you gonna love somebody else? And no truer words have been spoken. I hope you have a wonderful day. Part 2 will be coming soon. Thank you for listening. It means the world to me.
You're listening to The Kirk Collins Show.